What if I told you that the Catholic Church enduring so many scandals is actually one of the reasons to become Catholic? Welcome to Eternal Christendom, consecrated to Our Lady for the glory of our Lord. I'm Joshua Charles. So this week's podcast will be a bit shorter because we have been working on a ton of resources for you guys. We've got over a million words of content on becoming Catholic now. This is at the top of our website, eternalchristendom.com. You go to the very top, it says Becoming Catholic. You can click on that and it'll show you we've got three basic types of resources: articles, quote archives, and study banks. We've been majorly upgrading the quote archive section. I'm literally systematizing all my research into all these sources and many others in my libraries, but primarily the Church Fathers, the overwhelming evidence that showed me the Catholic Church actually is the Church Christ founded. And so it's being organized by topic, organized by author. That's all being provided to you guys for free. So, and I want to thank our patrons for making this possible. It's a lot more than just this podcast. The podcast is the first masterpiece, and we've got audio, classics, Bible, digital cathedral as we go forward throughout the years. But underlying all of it, the foundation of all of it, is all this research, all these articles, all these writings, all this data from Becoming Catholic that we're making available to all of you for free for the benefit of you and your family to help people become, remain, and deepen their lives as Catholics, hidden with Christ and God. That's quoting Colossians 3:3. That's our whole point. We're not scandal-mongering. We're not ecclesial commentators. We are trying to help people connect with the sources of the great tradition so they can enjoy eternal life with God. So if this content is blessing you, please consider supporting us along with the patrons who are already making it possible. If just a small portion of this audience gave $10 a month, we're a tax-deductible organization. You can go to eternalchristendom.com, go to the very top, it says become a patron. $10 a month from a small fraction of you, and our overhead costs are covered, and we can keep doing this indefinitely. So thank you very, very much. And with that, we will get into this briefer podcast, but one I think you will find edifying and interesting and even funny. So this is a story of how a medieval Jew, the most unlikely of candidates for Christian baptism, became a Christian, despite the best efforts of the clergy. And it is lightly adapted from the second story of the Decameron by Giovanni Boccaccio. I believe I'm pronouncing that correctly. And the Decameron is a collection of stories that were told around 1348 by some bored Florentines seeking relief from the scourge of the Black Death. This was when about, you know, a third to a half of Europe was killed by the bubonic plague. So this amusing story shows how the worst of things prompted the best of decisions. It expresses in a satirical manner one of the great reasons I myself decided to become a Catholic, because the church continued to stand athwart history, tenaciously consistent and stable, despite the best efforts of some of her clergy. As the great convert Hilaire Belloc once said, quote, "The Catholic Church is an institution I am bound to hold divine. But for unbelievers, a proof of its divinity might be found in the fact that no merely human institution conducted with such knavish imbecility would have lasted a fortnight." And for those of you Americans like myself who didn't know what Fortnite was, besides the game, of course, for much of our lives, I've known for quite a while now, but a fortnight is 2 weeks. So Hilaire Belloc says, "The Catholic Church, if you look at how it's been managed over the millennia, wouldn't have lasted 2 weeks if not for a divine guarantee of assistance and help." So my hope is that this assertion, Hilaire Belloc's, mine, the assertion from the story, will become increasingly convincing to non-Catholics through the retelling of stories such as this one from the Decameron. And in the meantime, it's time for a good and, we hope, instructive laugh. So that brings us to our roadmap. Our roadmap is as follows. Our thesis is that stories such as these illustrate the fundamental reality that evil within the church will never fully destroy her, because her spouse and founder is Christ himself. We will show this by, of course, sharing the story, which is quite funny and ironic, and then offering a brief reflection on what stories like this can help us see about Christ's Catholic Church. So part one, a stalwart Jew and a pesky Gentile. So our story begins with, I'm horrible with French, so a bunch of Italians were telling the story about these French people. So if you know French, forgive me. Jehanot de Chavignier. I think it's Chavignier. It's C-H-E-V-I-G-N-Y. It looks like Chevigny if I was pronouncing it, you know, phonetically in English. So I'm going to pronounce it Chevigny. It's probably not that way, but, you know, I'll at least sound way more sophisticated than I normally sound. And that's how we'll say it. So the story begins with Jehanot de Chavignier, a Parisian merchant. Jehanot had a Jewish friend named, as we could probably guess, Abraham. And because he cared so much for his eternal soul, he decided to discuss the Christian faith with him. Abraham told Jehanot that he believed, quote, no faith to be sound and holy except the Jewish, unquote, and that the faith of his birth would be the faith of his death. However, after being pestered by and presented with so many arguments and proofs by Jehanot for so long, Abraham finally relented and responded as follows, quote, now listen, Jehanot, you would like me to become a Christian, and I am prepared to do so on one condition, that first of all, I should go to Rome and there observe the man whom you call the vicar of God on earth, the Pope, obviously, and examine his life and habits together with those of his fellow cardinals. And if they seem to me such that, added to your own arguments, they lead me to the conclusion that your faith is superior to mine, as you have taken such pains to show me, then I shall do as I have promised. But if things should turn out differently, I shall remain as I am at present, unquote. Jehanot, previously so optimistic about the prospects of Abraham converting, was thrown into a deep gloom upon hearing of his desire to visit Rome. This is Jehanot's words, quote, I have wasted my energies, which I felt I had used to such good effect, thinking I would finally convert him. For if he goes to the court of Rome and sees what foul and wicked lives the clergy lead, not only will he not become a Christian, but if he had already turned Christian, he would become a Jew again without fail. Unquote. So Jehanot thereupon attempted to convince Abraham that a trip to Rome was not necessary. Quote, why should you want to put yourself to the endless trouble and expense involved in going all the way from here to Rome? He asked. But Abraham rebuffed him and insisted on visiting Rome. For if indeed what Jehanot was saying was true, it was worthy of Abraham's investigation. As a result, Jehanot felt all but certain that Abraham, after seeing the rot and corruption in Rome, would never become a Christian. His anticipation was turned to dread. Part 2. Abraham visits Rome. So Abraham mounted his horse and headed to Rome, where he was welcomed by his fellow Jews. But quietly, surreptitiously, he began to observe the Pope, the cardinals, and other ecclesiastical dignitaries. He saw that, quote, practically all of them, from the highest to the lowest, were flagrantly given to the sin of lust, not only of the natural variety, but also of the sodomitic, without the slightest display of shame or remorse, unquote. On closer examination, he also realized they were little more than a bunch of money grubbers, and when not controlled by lust, were the beasts of avarice. How little has changed, right? Sometimes. not Pope Leo, it doesn't seem like, but, you know, popes since the 1300s, for sure. So Abraham returned home to Paris, disgusted by what he had seen. Part 3. Abraham returns. After a few days, Jehanot decided to broach the subject of Abraham's trip to Rome. He let it lie for a bit. Quote, what sort of opinion have you formed about the Holy Father and the cardinals and the other members of the papal court? He asked him. Abraham responded as follows, quote, a bad one, and may God deal harshly with the whole lot of them. And my reason for telling you so is that unless I formed a wrong impression, nobody there who was connected with the church seemed to me to display the slightest sign of holiness, piety, charity, moral rectitude, or any other virtue. On the contrary, it seemed to me that they were all so steeped in lust, greed, avarice, fraud, envy, pride, and other like sins, and worse, if indeed that is possible, that I regard the place as a hotbed for diabolical rather than devotional purposes. As far as I can judge, it seems to me that your pontiff, and all of the others too, are doing their level best to reduce the Christian religion to naught and drive it from the face of the earth, whereas they are the very people who should be its foundation and support. Unquote. Jehanot, though not surprised, was obviously crushed. All of the hard work he had done to convince Abraham, all the proofs he had marshaled, all the arguments he had concocted, It had all been a waste as a result of Abraham's visit to Rome, the very center of the Catholic Church. But then something happened that shocked him. But, Abraham said, with eyebrows raised, quote, since it is evident to me that their attempts are unavailing, meaning the Pope and the cardinals and the clergy, and that your religion continues to grow in popularity and become more splendid and illustrious, I can only conclude that being a more holy and genuine religion than any of the others, it deservedly has the Holy Ghost as its foundation and support. So whereas earlier I stood firm and unyielding against your entreaties and refused to turn Christian, I now tell you quite plainly that nothing in the world could prevent me from becoming a Christian. Let us therefore go to the church where, in accordance with the traditional rite of your holy faith, you shall have me baptized. Unquote. For Jehanot, the dropping of his jaw was made up for by the rising of his spirit. He was indeed, quote, the happiest man that ever lived. Unquote. So he escorted Abraham to the Cathedral of Notre Dame de Paris and asked the priest to baptize him. As soon as the priest heard Abraham affirm that he had freely chosen to be baptized, they asked his sponsor for his new Christian name. Call him John, Jehanot said. After this, Jehanot requested some of the best teachers in Paris to instruct Abraham in the faith, after which the former Jew became, quote, a good and worthy man, holy in all his ways, unquote. And that is the story of how a medieval Jew, Abraham, became a medieval Catholic, John. So, in conclusion, what are some thoughts from this little cute, funny, satirical, ironic story? Clearly, humanity has not lost its sense of humor in the last 700 years since this story was written. I love this story for a simple reason. It illustrates the reality of the church on earth in both her glory and her shame. No one should ever become Catholic because they believe her members, let alone her hierarchy, are perfect or anything close. The truth has often been quite the opposite, for the church on earth is, after all, a hospital for sinners. But perhaps an even more important recognition is this. Such sins do not destroy the church or veto God's promises to her. Christ promised the gates of hell will never defeat his church, that whatever she binds and looses on earth shall be bound and loosed in heaven, that the Holy Spirit would guide her into all truth, and that he would be with her apostolic hierarchy until the end of the world. But he also promised many wolves would come, men by whom others would be scandalized, with this concomitant promise, but woe to the man by whom the temptation or scandal comes. That's Matthew 18:7. This is precisely what Abraham the Jew recognized, that the evil within the church did not and could not destroy her, for her spouse and founder was God himself. And that is ultimately why Abraham the Jew is now John the Catholic. And obviously he may or may not be real, but if he was real, we hope that he's now John the Catholic in heaven praying for us before the throne of Jesus Christ. And with that, we'll close with our normal anthem verse, this abnormally short episode, but check out Becoming Catholic on the website, eternalchristendom.com. We've prepared a feast for you all, and trust me, there is a lot more coming. There is so much ongoing research, so much gathering of receipts, and it is all for you guys, all for your friends, all for your family, all for your acquaintances at work, at your parish, wherever they may be. Please share it widely. We are doing this all for you, for the glory of God, and for the good of the church. So with that, we'll close with our normal anthem verse, Psalm 73, verses 25 through 26. Who have I in heaven but you, and on earth I desire nothing besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but the Lord is the strength of my heart and my portion forever.